Boy, if you're a fan of the Houston Texans, I got bad news for you. J.J. Watt has re-injured his back, according to Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network. He is going to miss an extended period of time and possibly the season. He re-injured his back, and here's a perfect example of a guy rushing back to get ready for week one instead of taking his time and saying, okay, it's a 16-week season. You know, let's be careful here and not overdo it. That is devastating news for the Houston Texans. Awful. That's the worst news that you could hear if you're a fan of the Houston Texans. Again, re-injuring his back and could, according to Ian Rapoport, the NFL Network insider, man, maybe even the season. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You know, the injuries in the NFL, they keep piling up, and yet, you know, teams just got to get through it. And there's so much luck that is involved in being a successful team in the NFL. There's a lot of luck involved. On the text line, somebody wants to know if I think DeMarcus playing for Team USA this summer is going to hurt in terms of him playing at least 75 games this season. No, I think it's actually going to help because I think he's in tremendous shape. And I think that his dedication in terms of diet and everything else to get ready for the Olympics actually makes it easier for him and better for him. Now, you know, it's not like playing in the Olympics is a tiring ordeal. Not that I've ever done it, but I don't have to do it because I know that, you know, practicing a couple of times and playing in those games is not going to wear you out, particularly when the Olympics ended in the second week of or the third week of August. You know, we're talking about, you know, athletes that are in their prime. They're it's not like playing Olympic basketball is going to wear anybody out. So, no, I think it's actually a benefit. I think it's a benefit to him physically, and I think it's a benefit to him mentally that he went through that experience. Somebody said, why don't we know if Darren Collison is being suspended or not? Are they keeping us in limbo, or am I just tripping? No, it is taking quite a while, and I can't answer that. I don't know because I don't have, you know, that type of connection with the people that are associated with the NBA that make these decisions. So I can't answer that other than to say I would agree with you. I thought that we would have known something last week. All right, if you want to add in anything, you can text the show 44-1140. If you want to follow me on Twitter, at Grant Napier Show, N-A-P-E-A-R. And the numbers, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Good news for the Giants. Cincinnati is leading by the score of 1-0, and they have the bases loaded and nobody out. The Giants, who really, they didn't even play last night, and they had one of their best days in recent memory as the Mets lost and the Cardinals lost. And when you think about, you know, the Cardinals have not played well. They have not played well. And I'm thinking, you know, the Mets are playing Miami. The Mets, I think the Mets are going to make it. The Giants have the table set up about as well as you can. At home for 3 against Colorado, 3 against the Dodgers. And while all of this is going on, you've got a St. Louis team that got blown out last night at home, and now they're already down 1-0, the Reds scoring a run in the first, and they've got the bases loaded. And they just scored another run on a sac fly, so it's 2-0. Somebody said it would be a damn shame if we got off to a bad start because DC is suspended. It's just the way it goes. I mean, you can call it a shame, you can call it whatever you want, but I would say, I'm guessing between 5 and 8 games. That's my guess. I mean, I'm hoping it's 5, but I have no way of knowing, you know, where the league is on this. I do find it rather puzzling that here we are, you know, with practice already starting. You know, Dave Yeager would love to know, you know, how many games, if at all, his starting point guard is going to be missing, right? I mean, it's obviously a point guard. It's your quarterback of your team. You know, it would help him, you know, formulate his game plan. I'm sure in Dave's mind he's got a number in his head, but still would be very nice to know. It would be very nice to know. All right, again, 44-11-40 on the text line, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I'll keep you updated on the game in St. Louis. Again, it's 2-0 in favor of Cincinnati. They're still batting in the third. They got runners on the corners and one out. Giants, meanwhile, they will send Matt Moore to the hill tonight. And Matt Moore is, you know, got 2 big starts, going to be starting tonight and then starting on Sunday. You know, a little while ago, you know, I was talking about what Dave Yeager said, that he is going to play 10 players with 8 getting the bulk of the minutes. And so I was just, you know, having fun going over, you know, some of the players that we think will be playing for sure. And this has nothing to do with any pending suspension, but Darren Collison and Ty Lawson, okay? That's 2. You got Rudy Gay, Omri Caspi, and Matt Barnes. That's 5. Aaron Aflalo, Ben McAdoo, Garrett Temple. That's 8. Cousins, obviously, is your main guy. He's going to be playing a ton of minutes. Willie Cauley-Stein and Costa Koufos, that's 11. And Anthony Tolliver's 12. I mean, they're going to be unhappy guys here. You know? There are going to be some unhappy players. That much I can assure you. All right. We'll take the time out. We'll come back. We'll talk a little baseball about this race. And again, 2-0 Cincinnati. 2 outs now with runners on the corners. If Adam Wainwright can get out of this inning allowing 1, consider them fortunate. And the Mets are leading against Miami by the score of 4-1. All right, we'll be right back. The Grant Napier Show, Sports 1140 KHDK. Hey, let me get to this brain surgeon on the text line. Hey, Grant, setting the lineups and rotations is not your job. Let Coach Yeager make those decisions. It's not your job. Well, to the Einstein that sent me that text, number one, okay, I'm not setting the lineups and I'm not setting the rotations. I was listing the number of players that are on the roster, and I'm going by what the coach said yesterday, that he's going to play 10 guys with 8 of the 10 getting most of the minutes, and I was saying that there are going to be several players that are going to be unhappy, as the case on any team, because there are a lot more than 10 players on this roster that feel like they're going to be playing. So what I was saying was, I know DeMarcus Cousins is going to be playing a lot of minutes. I don't know about anything else other than Darren Collison is the team's starting point guard. I don't think I'm going out on a limb there. You know, I don't think like I'm, you know, generating any earth-shattering news. I think that's common sense. But thank you for your beautiful text. I do appreciate that. All right, as mentioned, the Giants tonight, 6 games left. And we are going to talk with Mike Axisa from the National Baseball Reporter for CBS. Again, Mike Axisa. Mike, it's Grant Napier. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I am doing well. So the Giants here, they didn't play last night. It was one of their best days in recent memory with the Cardinals getting blown out. And, boy, the tragedy down in Miami is the Marlins beat the Mets. Gut feeling, two of the 3 teams, the 2 teams are going to be standing after play on Sunday in the National League wild card. Who do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to end up being the Mets and the Giants, and I think that has as much to do with the Cardinals just being, they're kind of banged up, they haven't been playing well. This is like a war of attrition. It's whoever is kind of left standing. Nobody's going to win it. It's whoever loses it is going to give it to the other teams, and I feel like the Cardinals right now they're the weakest team, so I think it's going to be the Mets and the Giants.
They have really not been playing well, and they're already down 2-0 as I'm watching this game. In the bottom of the third, they got embarrassed last night. You think it's basically injury-related when you talk about the Cardinals?
Yeah, I think that's a large part of it, but that's not everything. You know, their pitchers haven't really performed, certainly not performing as well as they did last season. But I'm not sure you really could have expected that kind of performance again. But, you know, Adam Wainwright hasn't pitched as well as they had hoped. Michael Wacha has been awful. Jaime Garcia, that's been the biggest problem, is the pitching has not been up to its normal standard. And then you add the injuries on top of that, and you get a team that's barely hanging on the race here.
Boy, talking about injuries, boy, if you're the Washington Nationals, everything's been going great. You know, Dusty, and this year, they've been really, really good. And then, boom, all of a sudden, your all-star catcher with the ACL and Ramos. I mean, this is, I don't want to say it's the end of their line, but, boy, it's devastating news.
Yeah, that Ramos injury, that's a really big blow, because he's having a fantastic season. He's also their starting catcher. He
yep.
knows the pitchers and all that stuff. And he was a big part of their offense against left-handed pitching as well, which is going to be big because they're going to play the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are going to run out Kershaw and Rich Hill. So now they're missing one of their biggest right-handed bats. That's a really, really huge injury there. Is it the end of the line for them because of that? I don't know, but, you know, weird things happen in the playoffs, but this is obviously a big injury.
Well, I got to tell you, boy, if you're a fan of the Dodgers, you got to be perked up here. I mean, here they are looking like they're going to play the Nats, and I think that is going to be a big factor. Give me your thoughts on this Dodgers team now that's had a strong second half.
I feel like the NL West, it's kind of like in its own little baseball universe. It seems like teams there that are really good, like the Dodgers, I feel like if you put them in another division, they wouldn't be quite as good. The Dodgers, they're obviously a very good team, and once you get to the postseason, the pitching staff kind of shrinks, and you're only dealing with guys like Kershaw and Hill and the really good relievers. They're going to be a dangerous team, but I look at the roster and I feel like there's a lot of guys who underperformed this year. Aside from Corey Seager, there's a lot of guys who I thought were going to do more, like Puig and Howie Kendrick, even Adrian Gonzalez. But I feel like once you get to the postseason, kind of start with a clean slate, and they have so much depth, they're going to have a hard time picking their 25-man roster. They're not going to be a pushover anyway. They're going to be a really dangerous club.
All right, obviously the Cubs have been the story in the National League, and I'm trying to find weaknesses on this team, and I can't. And the only thing that you could look at are the intangibles and the history that works against them as they go deeper into the playoffs. Do you see any weaknesses on this Cubs team?
No, I don't. And, you know, that's kind of impressive, though. They built a team that they're so good at everything. They do strike out a little bit too much, and you could run into a situation where, like last season in the NLCS, they ran into a really great pitching staff who just was able to blow the ball by them at a big spot. I don't really see the pitching staff that could do that to them this year, though, and so that's maybe not a huge concern. I think the Cubs are by far the favorite, I think. They're the best team in baseball all around, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen in a short postseason series, because all it takes is a couple weird bounces and things could break right or wrong. But definitely the Cubs look like the most complete team. You know, they really might be the most complete team we've seen maybe since the 1998 Yankees, who were so good. You know, it's been this long since we've seen a team who was just so good at everything.
All right, then in the American League, I mean, I want to start with the Indians. I mean, you want to talk about bad luck with the injuries that they've had coming down the stretch. And when you look at the American League, Texas made the big deal at the deadline to really bolster their team. Boston's got the great offense. I question whether their pitching is good enough. Who do you see emerging from the American League?
You know, I don't really know, because I look at every team, and it's not like the National League. The National League has a couple great teams up top and a bunch of really bad teams at the bottom. The AL, it's much more spread out. And I think right now the Red Sox are probably the best team, even though their pitching is not all that great, especially at the back of the rotation. You know, that concerns me, but their offense is just so good that I don't think it's really going to hurt them too much in the playoffs. But the Indians, I think, if the Indians were healthy, I think they would be the best team. But with Carrasco hurt, Salazar hurt, now Corey Kluber got hurt last night. If the Kluber injury is remotely serious, the Indians are just in so much trouble. But, you know, without Carrasco and Salazar and Michael Brantley, who they haven't had all season, you know, those are really big losses for them. And if the Indians were healthy and at full strength, I think they'd be the best team, but they're not, so I think it's the Red Sox now.
Mike, I'm curious, with Boston and Texas starting play with 92 wins and Cleveland with 91, in your opinion, how important is it to have, you know, that number one seed in the American League, and how managers will play this coming down to this final weekend?
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think the teams themselves are going to place a high value on that because they do want to start the series at home. They want to face a wild card team that has to use their best pitcher in the wild card game. You know, it's just a much better situation all around. So I don't think they're going to go all out to try to win. They're not going to push their players to the point of fatigue and risking injury and things like that. But they're not just going to, you know, the old days of just kind of trotting out spring training lineups for a few games at the end of the season, that's not going to happen anymore. These teams are going to try to win. And it's, you know, because they do want to have that home, start that series at home. They want to play a team that's a wild card team that just played a tough game,
right,
and is their best pitcher and all that stuff. So I think they're going to place a high priority on this.
All right, in the National League, you got the Dodgers and the Nats are going to be squaring off. You got 91 wins for Washington, Dodgers with 90. I'll ask you the same question. I mean, how do you think the Skippers will handle that this weekend? And we're now talking about, you know, maybe having to make an extra trip, you know, across the country. How important do you think it is for the Nationals and the Dodgers to have home field?
Yeah, I think that's going to be an especially important series because of the big cross-country flight. You know, they're obviously going to have to do it once, but you'd rather just start at home and you know, just start in your own ballpark, more comfortable there. And, you know, I think both teams are kind of tailored to their ballparks, and I'm not sure if one team needs to be home more than the other. You know, you could look at their records and home and road, but I'm not sure that tells you too much there. I do think it's important, and again, I think both managers are really going to go for it. You know, with Washington, they've had so many injuries that maybe they won't put their foot on the gas quite as much, but this is something they both want.
Mike, good stuff. I really appreciate you joining me. Thank you.
Sure.
Take care. That's Mike Axis from from CBS, I should say, talking MLB. We'll come back. We got one more segment left. So if you want to get in on the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140, the Grant Napier show is going to come right back. I do want to get to this text. Unhappy Kings players, wow, who'd have thunk that? No, they're not unhappy in that sense. Okay, you're misconstruing everything I'm saying. There are players on every single roster in the NBA that feel like they should be playing, but you can't keep everyone happy. Unhappy that they're not playing, but they're not going to be disruptive to the betterment of the team. All right, there's a big difference. We'll be right back. Final segment, as we give you the latest on the scores, update you with the Cardinals hitting a solo shot. So they have cut that lead in half. Again, Giants are a little more than a half hour away, and they're keeping an eye on a scoreboard. The Reds lead now 2-1 in the bottom of the fourth. Again, the Cardinals are just coming up to bat in the bottom of the fourth. And the Mets and Marlins playing down in South Florida, and the Marlins with that emotional game last night, game two of that set. And they have gone to the eighth inning, the top of the eighth, in Miami. And the Mets lead by the score of 4-1. Now, when you look at the schedule, Giants tonight opening up that three-game series against Colorado. The Cardinals, as we know, currently playing the Cincinnati Reds. And then when you look at Friday, the Mets are in Philadelphia, all right? And St. Louis hosts Pittsburgh. So the Cardinals, after their series with Cincinnati, have Pittsburgh, the Giants, of course, host the L.A. Dodgers. Who knows, right? This thing, though, you kind of get the feeling that this is coming down to Sunday. And then if you make the wild card, you throw out your best pitcher and you hope for the best. And the other good news, you want to be the top wild card, especially, you know, if you're San Francisco, you certainly don't want to go and have to travel to New York to take on the Mets. You know, you want them to come to your ballpark. And when you look at the standings right now, you know, I think the Cardinals have the tougher they're not playing that well. And they are They get the leadoff man on in the bottom of the fourth, but they're 81-75. The Giants 82-74. And if the Mets hold on and win, they'll go to 84-74. They'll actually have two more wins than the Giants. But, of course, the Giants would play tonight, and they would either go to 83-74, 82-75. And Matt Moore's got to pitch a gem. And he's going to be pitching on Sunday, too, against the Dodgers in a game that could absolutely be huge. So, you know, if you're a fan and you're looking at these games coming up, you every game. Yeah, you can't be messing around. You know, we're talking about every error. We're talking about every pitch, you know, hit, run, steals. I mean, you got to play perfect baseball here. For these teams, the playoffs underway. So the Mets, again, up by three. That game is in the eighth. If they hold on, they'll go to 84-74. The Giants, 82-74. That's going to really put the pressure on them tonight against a Colorado team. And I don't know what it is about the Giants and the Rockies. The Rockies have played pretty well against San Francisco. And so, you know, I don't know what to think anymore when I'm talking about the Giants. You know, I know that, you know, earlier this month, they were in Colorado. They lost two of three. You know, the Rockies are... they're not bad. You know, it's not like they're an absolute embarrassment. Just got to go out and play. You know, you just got to go out and figure out a way to win these games. I don't care how you do it. And we know the struggles. We've talked about it over and over and over again. But the last time the Rockies were in San Francisco, they won two of three. That can't happen this time around. It just cannot happen. Again, the Cardinals trailing 2-1. They got a man on first, nobody out. That ball game in the bottom of the fourth, and the Mets need six more outs to get the win, and a big win for them. And again, they wrap up with Philadelphia this weekend. You know, listen, teams playing loose. They got a lot of young kids playing. You know, you would think, all right, you would think that the Mets aren't going to have any problem going in and taking on a Philadelphia team. I mean, but, you know, Philadelphia, what are they, 15, 16, 17 games under 500? But they're, hey, they got the kids up. They got them playing. They're going to want to impress. They're trying to make a name. They're trying to solidify a spot, you know, on the club for next year. This thing's going down to the final weekend, huh? Thank goodness for the wild card, or we would have absolutely nothing to talk about here. What would we be talking about? All the divisional races are done. So thank goodness for the wild card, not only in the National League, but the American League as well. I am back tomorrow at 3. Lincoln Kennedy will be joining me in the final hour for the Nation. Cardinals now have first and second with one out, down 2-1. So that's the latest on that. All right, so make it a great evening, everybody. And thanks for listening to the Grant Napier Show right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.